Alright, welcome back to Playing Defenses. We're gonna give you a little Premier League season wrap up and some comments about the Champions League games coming up 2 weeks from now.
Is it 2 weeks from now? Yeah, it is 2 weeks from now.
It's at August 7th, so.
Yeah, I don't know what day it is anymore.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, that's also very true. So this was kind of a weird last day of the Premier League because I think there was like a fair amount of drama leading up to it, and then stuff just kind of went according to plan.
Yeah.
Like no one jumped really any significant position, and there weren't really any, I think, big upsets that would have caused anything to really, I think, change. So the four Champions League spots are going to Liverpool, Manchester City, and Man U, and Chelsea. Which I think is kind of weird that like Man U finished above Chelsea this year, because
they just caught fire after the restart. It just started clicking for them in attack, and like they've looked like the best or second best team in the league since the restart. An attacking sense. Yeah, they're still like terrible defensively.
The second best team since the restart. Liverpool have pretty much wrapped the title up.
City, they don't really have anything to play. Man City have still, it was a bit patchy, but in the last 2-3 weeks, they've played some really good football.
It's like good, but not.
Yeah. I mean, but
not when things were competitive.
Yeah, regardless of the rankings, I think that United have played some really good football in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe the FA Cup loss to Chelsea aside.
Yeah, they were pretty bad in that.
the one defining moments of that game was Harry Maguire, like, dribbling out of defense. And then, like, I can't remember who it was to try to get the ball off of him. And then he pushed him off the ball and then went around in a circle and then proceeded to lose the ball.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that they seem really well set up to beat teams that they're better than.
Yeah.
And that if the skill level is close, it starts to get difficult for them.
Yeah, I think like they're at their best when they play against teams that like don't sit deep and give them a lot of space to attack into. And they have enough. I think they have enough in the team to like unlock stubborn defenses. Although they've been a few setbacks recently against.
They didn't
like,
do that well against Leicester. They only had 7 shots.
Yeah, they didn't. And the game against Southampton too. Can't remember. There was also another draw recently. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just like they're not rotating at all.
Yeah, they're not. They haven't really rotated their attackers.
At all. It's the same.
They did play Daniel James. They did start Daniel James in the FA Cup.
They played McTominay, I think, in the last fixture.
Which points to one of their weaknesses, which is that their first team is pretty good.
Yeah.
And their reserves are, I wouldn't say they're trash, but they're not. They're not trash, yeah, but they're not.
I don't know. Some of them are kind of trash, dude.
We don't like McTominay. I think that's already been established.
Fred is serviceable.
Fred's okay.
Like, do you like Ben Williams?
Is that the fullback? Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen much of him.
Bae just can't play for some reason.
Yeah, he just keeps on getting injured. It's actually pretty sad. Because when he's fit, he's a pretty good center back.
And then Ighalo.
Ighalo, he's a feel-good story.
Yes.
That's it. Like, he's a feel-good story. I mean, he can do a job against, like, some Russian team in the Europa League, but, like,
that should
beyond
be
that.
Your backup striker. Like, if you're Man U, you should be able to
No.
A higher caliber of player.
Like, Martial should be your backup striker.
Yeah.
Not to, like, knock on Martial, but...
No.
But
you should probably get a player that scores, like, 20 goals a season.
Yeah. He can do that, but I don't think he has a consistency.
Yeah. But no, they look very solid. And Bruno, like, I just remember us talking early in the season about how, like, Man U didn't have anybody to pass except for Pogba, and he was injured, and so they just couldn't score at all. And, like, they have Bruno Fernandes and Pogba there now who can both pass, and they look a lot better.
Yeah, and also, I have to give Wan-Bissaka props. He's looking like a better attacking fullback.
Yeah.
He's not there yet, but he's, like, he's offering work going forward.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, and also, like, Marcus Rashford can sort of create, so can Mason Greenwood.
To me, yeah. Rashford is, I think, the best player on that team.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point.
He's just fantastic. Just his flexibility in terms of his positioning, shot creation, goal scoring ability. He can just do a lot of really, really valuable stuff.
Yeah.
So his haircuts are not good, but...
No, I think it's his hairline.
Yeah, and kind of head shape. So.
Yeah, he has to work head shape.
Yeah, but he's good at football, so whatever. But no, I mean, to me, like, I don't know what Man U's financial position is because they're super loaded up with debt. And even though they get a ton of revenue from, well, all sorts of places, they haven't really, I think, spent in the way that they have needed to recently. Like, they spent a ton on Harry Maguire, but they need a couple more additions to, I think, really solidify their standing as, like, one of those elite clubs in the world.
Yeah, but they still have a lot more cash in hand than other clubs.
Yeah.
Of their stature do. And they make a ton of money. I'm not saying that they're not going to suffer a bit through this period, but they're going to have a relatively easier time than, like, other teams that just don't have that level of revenue that they have and they can fall back on.
Nice. Yeah.
And they made the Champions League this year, which is great for their finances.
Yeah, for sure. Because they've missed out
for the last two seasons.
Right? Yeah, last two seasons. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking forward to them hopefully doing something this offseason and really, I think, creating... Because we haven't seen, like, a Manchester versus Manchester, like, title race yet. And I think that'd be pretty interesting.
There have been. That happened, like, in the early part of the last decade.
Well, I mean with Pep.
Well, with Pep. But
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, by the time Pep came along, they were trying to get to the basement.
Yeah, because I think at least that, when that happened, like, what was that, like, 2009, 10?
Yeah, like 2011. There were competitors up to, like, from around that time till when Sir Alex retired.
I just think City are different. Like, that version of City is like the Michael Richards was still there version, and this version of City just is different, man.
Yeah, it's different. Like, it's not the Yaya Toure days.
Yeah,
not that those days were bad. Those days. Right, this team is just...
This is like a different level of excellence, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And to see Man U compete with that, I think it would be very interesting.
I don't think they'll be able to compete.
No. I mean, okay, they honestly, if they, like, actually spent the money they could, but because I don't.
If they get a better, like if they upgrade one of their center backs this summer, if they add a better like right fullback, I mean left fullback than Luke Shaw,
I think they still need another attacker
and a striker. Yeah.
Honestly, I'd be okay with Martial if they got Sancho. Like if they had Rashford, Martial, and Sancho. Yeah, that's elite right there.
Yeah, it's just another creator, and then like, he can score goals too.
And then I replace him for Matic.
Yeah,
signed to another contract, which
I really think that what's his name, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to start giving McTominay more game time.
He needs to send him to Southampton.
Yeah, but like I'm sure that he's going to be like, yeah, we need to give one of our own a chance. And then he'll be given a chance. And
that's Greenwood. He's not quite up, he's not. Greenwood's...
I mean, Greenwood, he's been given a chance and he's excelled so far. He scored, 11, 12 goals in the league?
Something like that.
Which is...
like 11.
Which is pretty incredible for a guy that's only 18 years old. Yeah.
I think those numbers will come down next season just because it's a little crazy that he's producing at that high rate.
It's different, but we did see.
XG doesn't look that good. That's the problem. It's like.
So have you looked at Kylian Mbappe's XG, like when he came onto the scene, at Monaco?
No, I don't think we have data for that. Do we?
That's like 2017, right?
Yeah, I don't think Football Reference has data for 2017.
So 2016-2017, he played 29 games, scored 15 goals, had 8 assists.
Oh, they do.
His XG per 90 was about 0.5.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Better
that's actually like for him, that's okay. That's different.
Greenwood is not there. Greenwood's XG is 0.25.
Yeah, that's which is not bad.
No. And I think it points to his ability to strike the ball because he hits the ball super, super hard.
Yeah.
But, I expect those numbers. Like, if he scores the same amount of goals next season on, 2,000 minutes, I could see that. Because he's at 1,200 right now, so.
Yeah, and if he's playing alongside better players,
yeah.
Then... he'll look better.
But, I mean, that's still really good. He'd be 18.
Yeah.
Scoring double-digit goals,
playing for Man U. Mbappe's an anomaly.
Yeah, that's still really good. I don't think, unless he's, unlocked some, messy game-busting type thing. I don't think he'll just have these XG numbers.
Yeah,
or these goal-scoring numbers if his XG is similar. Next season.
Do you have any players that consistently beat XG were Messi and Podolski, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically. That are super finishers. Most other players who do score a lot of goals just take a lot of shots. Like Ronaldo just takes seven shots a game.
And
Cavani. Because they're finishing. Well, Ronaldo's finishing is a little better than Cavani's, but. They're just able to get shot.
It's not a little better than Cavani's. I think he's
you just crap on Cavani. Cavani's okay, man.
Cavani is a good finisher, yes. But, I've seen him do things that give me pause. I can't remember who said this, that, when Cavani's making runs towards the box and trying to receive the ball, you should watch him play because there are things you can learn from him.
Yeah.
But when he's shaping up to shoot, you should close your eyes because there's nothing you can do from that.
That's so disheartening. I can't say that, man. He's good.
He might be in the Premier League next season.
I heard he's going to Benfica.
Benfica, yeah, he's been linked at Leeds as well, but I think he'll probably go to Benfica.
I'm just glad he's not going to Atletico Madrid, because they already have one washed-up striker on the books. So
I think he's less washed-up than the washed-up striker they have.
Yes, for sure. But they don't need they don't need more.
Two washed-up strikers.
Yeah. You know, his XG per 90 is insane.
Who?
Cavani's.
What's it?
So he hasn't really played this season, but it's at 1.18. But it's in 600 minutes, so it doesn't really count. But yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But going back to United, Leicester City, they started the season so well.
Yeah.
And they just collapsed in the second half.
But they had so many injuries, man.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Especially the restart. Like, they showed the lineup today, and they said that they were missing Pereira, Chilwell,
Madison,
and Soyuncu, because of disciplinary reasons. But, like, that's four starters in their team that are just gone. And the replacements they have are just not good, as good as them. So
yeah, they've tried to build up squad depth with signings like Dennis Pratt.
Yeah.
But there's only so much you can do in that front.
For sure. So especially, I mean, yeah, I just missing, especially the fullbacks, I think really hurt them a lot, because I think it's really hard for them to attack without those two guys, because they don't really have good wingers.
Yeah, their wingers are not good at all.
Exactly. And especially without Madison to move the ball forward, like, it was tough for them just to score goals, man.
And you're asking, they're asking Tielemans to do a lot more than he normally does.
Yeah, and he's the only guy that's able to do that on that team now. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that the injuries really hit them at a time when they could ill afford them. The XG, I think, leveled out because Chelsea and Man U were better than them over the course of the season.
Yeah.
But it was just, I think, very unfortunate timing for that team.
Yeah, they could have made it to the top four if they just won one of the games that they dropped points on.
Yep. It was literally that close. So, yeah. I mean, but honestly, this paves the way for Ndidi to Man U, man.
Yeah, he was... Yeah.
Hey, Leicester, a ton of their expenditure is tied up in wages, and if you dump a bunch of those wages because you sell Ndidi, and you get a huge transfer fee, like,
and then you have a ready-made replacement in Chowdhury as well.
Yeah, that's
not ready-made, but like he's pretty
good.
He's coming along. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, ask to me like what you do if you're that team. Like, getting the Champions League is nice, but what you do is develop players, hope that you win like a cup, maybe poke at Champions League, but you're going to sell to a big player, like, or big team like Man U, Man City.
I mean, if Man U drop at least 50 million euros, I think they would have to accept that bid.
I would. Especially in a pandemic, dude.
Yeah.
When you're getting less ticket revenue and it's already hard to compete with the big guys, I would take the cash. Yeah,
I think like they might be able to bid up the price for Ndidi because there are very few like very good defensive midfielders at the top level.
Yeah, especially when they're on the market are in the Premier League, because I think there's just a really big advantage of not having to cross evaluate between leagues, and so you just have a better idea of the talent that he's good against, because you literally play the same talent and can evaluate the same talent. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do if I were them, but Man U do weird things like
give McTominay a new contract.
Give Mata a new contract when he's like 31.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like I've said before, it's for the...
Or Alexis Sanchez. I forgot about him. Totally. Oh.
Alexis Sanchez.
He's looked okay at Inter, though. Like
the last like few games,
he hasn't looked really.
He
good,
scored.
He's looked.
He scored in the last game, right?
He looked
today.
Did he? I think they played today.
Yeah, Lukaku got a burst, and I think he got a goal as well.
They did not play today. They must have played yesterday. I just cared about the Milan game because Milan are somehow like the best team in Italy since the restart. Well, not the best team, but they're very good. He did score with the assist from Victor Moses.
God, I'm never let that down.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Can't say buying Victor Moses and actually young.
Yeah, I mean, it works. He has the system, man. He just like.
Yeah, he has a system to play those guys.
Yeah.
But it's just pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I don't think what happened with Chelsea and Man U is too surprising. Like, based on XG, they were, I think, the clear third and fourth best teams in the league. Like, Leicester's net XG was plus 16. Man U and Chelsea both had XG in the 20s. So,
yeah
it just wasn't that close just based on that. Actually, Chelsea's XG was pretty damn close to Liverpool's.
Liverpool's attack wasn't all that this season. I mean, maybe it's because I'm looking at them in relation to City's numbers, which were pretty incredible.
Yeah,
like they scored over 100 goals. Like Liverpool scored 81.
I'm just assuming it's because Kepa is trash. So.
Yeah.
I still have not gotten over the Wilfred Zaha goal. I do not understand how that went in.
Also, have you seen the FIFA 21 trailer?
No.
So in the trailer, there's this clip of Liverpool playing against Chelsea.
Hmm.
And then Trent Alexander-Arnold steps up to take a free kick. And he buries it in the top corner. Hmm. Kepa doesn't dive.
Yeah. It's like real life. That's funny. He's bad.
I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Yo, I defended him in this podcast.
I was telling you he was bad for like I would say at least 6 months.
Yeah, I heard you and I was like, yeah, maybe his low save percentage is a statistical anomaly.
Yeah, because keeper stats like, just are kind of weird. But
yeah, it's really hard to evaluate keepers.
But
especially keepers who play for teams like Chelsea. Yeah.
He's just bad, though.
Yeah, he's just not good. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the concussion thing that he had. Because I was thinking about that. With him refusing to like come out of the game. I don't know if that like has affected him. But he looks worse than he did last season.
Yeah, like, and he wasn't that good last season.
Good either. So they need to get a new keeper. I think that'll improve them.
Andre Onana.
Yeah. Or literally anybody.
And they have Caballero.
Yeah, because I mean, Caballero came in and they looked good. They got a clean sheet.
I think the defense is also a problem. I like Tony Rudiger, but
I do not like Christensen.
But
to me, it's like, is Conte 2017 Conte? Then they'll probably be okay.
I don't think Lampard's system suits him. They're still trying to figure out what to do with that midfield.
Yeah, because Kovacic can't play as much as they need him to, and Jorginho just gets roasted every time on the ball because like he's slow and not really strong, and so people just either push by him or run by him, and that is difficult in a league that's as physical as the Premier League is.
And then there's Kante, who can cover a lot of ground. He's great at recovering the ball, but can't really pass or build up attacks.
He can pass. He's just not going to.
He can. He's just not, like, he's not Fabregas.
Nah, definitely not.
He's not going to, like, play crossfield diagonal balls 75 yards up the pitch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Jorginho, I just don't think he fits over what Lampard's trying to do. Especially when you have Conte there, who's just a better six. So, I mean, we can talk about Havertz a little bit as well later on. But I think he's an interesting player because he can kind of... He's a 10, but he's played striker before. He's played in a deeper role in midfield before. And he's still young enough where you can develop him into either one of those roles.
Yeah, he's like the new Michael Ballack, in my opinion. Ballack could play everywhere.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched enough Ballack to like really say if that's true or not, but
he was a great goal scorer too.
Yeah.
So, he was. Yeah. Not a great goal scorer, but pretty good goal
pretty
scorer
good for his position.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but yeah, Chelsea and Man U are better than Leicester. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's definitely beyond doubt.
Do you want to talk about the relegation battle now?
Bournemouth's gone. Norwich has been gone for a while, thank God.
Yeah.
And what was the other team?
Watford.
Watford's gone. Yeah. Watford's
so
gone.
That Arsenal game was really weird because did you think that was a penalty against Craig Dawson on Lacazette?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure. I mean, I don't think there wasn't a foul. Like, there was a foul there. I don't know if the foul was serious enough to warrant a penalty. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Like,
no, I feel
there
like
was contact, but it wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I felt when I watched the replay, I felt so much just like Craig Dawson just can't like tackle people in the box. Like he just threw his shoulder into the back of Lacazette and he like fell down. But the ball wasn't really even close, and
yeah.
you could honestly say he's making his way towards the ball to try to intercept it, and Lacazette kind of gets in his way. But it just didn't seem like, and I know penalties aren't really designed to like reward play that is equivalent to like that quality of chance. Like I think the nature of penalties are just a way to kind of increase scoring in the league. But that one just seemed harsh, especially like the time. It was like a minute into the game. Like it was just, yeah, it just didn't feel right, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, they got awarded.
Yeah, and then
put it away.
The second goal from Tierney was also kind of weird because it like was a very soft shot that just like went in.
Yeah, I think they stopped playing.
Yeah,
for a second.
And then like what Ben Foster did, it's like didn't dive, and the celebration was also weird. He just like kind of jogged away. This
yeah, like he wasn't super like that was his first goal for Arsenal.
Yeah. It was like kind of surprised it went in. It was just like, what?
Yeah.
So, and then the Aubameyang flick was kind of, I guess, random because.
Yeah, it was a great piece of improvisation.
Yeah, this is Aubameyang being really good at soccer. So.
Yeah.
Or football, sorry. And I can't even really fault that because like that's like a very low quality chance.
Yeah, like there was nothing he could have done there.
Yeah.
He could have tried to like backheel it through the defender's legs.
But
remember that? I don't know if you've seen that Henry goal from, I don't know, the early 2000s?
I don't think I've
against Middlesbrough? Go ahead, the defender was backing him up. He posted the defender up and like backheeled it through the defender's legs into the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah. But anyway, David Luiz gave away a penalty today.
Yeah. Yo, he's your best defender, man.
Yeah, you know he's conceded 10 penalties this season. That's
he's
the most
slow, man.
that's a Premier League record.
Oh, actually.
Yeah, it is a Premier League record. He's conceded more penalties than Liverpool, Chelsea, wow. Newcastle, Brighton, Wolves, Manchester United, Sheffield United, Man City, Palace, and Southampton. Yeah.
It's just what happens when the 6U size doesn't actually play in Torreira, and the midfield is just like tissue paper.
Yeah, this is what happens when you play him in the back four.
Yeah.
Because it's too easy to like...
I mean, they played a back three today, right?
They played a back four.
Oh, they did. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Played a back four, and they didn't look very convincing. Holding didn't have a great game either.
Yo, is he good or not? Because he's 24, man.
I don't know. I actually do not know. Like, if you played him alongside a good defender, I think he'll be able to, like, hold his own.
Yeah.
Like, if you had someone that he could lean on a bit. But none of Arsenal's defenders are players that you could lean on. Even the most experienced one in Sokratis. I mean, he's not the most experienced one. David Luiz is.
Yeah.
But, like, the most solid-looking one, Sokratis, isn't, like, that solid anymore. So, like, maybe if he had a good partner, they could look good. And he has looked good in the past alongside guys like Koscielny, but Koscielny is still good. But, yeah, I don't know.
That was a torn ACL before the torn ACL. So.
Yeah, before the torn ACL.
Well, I mean, maybe Saliba will be really good.
I don't know. I barely watched Saint-Étienne this past season.
I watched them once, and he looked okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about his season. I can't tell if, like, I can't verify because I haven't seen the games, but, yeah. I mean, if you're spending £30 million for an 18-year-old, you better hope that you get some return on investment at some point.
Yo, Rob Holding turns 24 or 25 this September.
Yeah. I think he's at that point where he has to start performing or he'll start getting linked to an exit. And Arsenal were probably going to make money on him anyway because they signed him for £2 million.
Yeah.
So. But
I think they just hope that he would have been a starter by now.
They have a lot of center backs.
Just not a lot of good ones.
There are no good ones. I mean, Mustafi is the closest thing to a good center back. If only he wasn't so error prone.
Oh my. Dude, I'm really mad Mustafi is bad because I thought he was going to be excellent for the team.
Exactly. Just... Like, I bought him, used to buy him in FM a lot, and he was amazing.
Yeah, he's just terrible, man.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Arsenal needs to spend a lot this summer unless they're not going to be seeing the European spots anytime soon.
We didn't even talk about the relegation battle.
The relegation? Who cares about the relegation?
Yo! I don't know, man. I thought they were pretty good. Then they just kept on firing their coaches. And I thought they got rid of Nigel Pearson.
Crazy.
That was just a weird reason. Did they like draw to somebody? They like drew to somebody and then they fired him. And then they had City coming up next and just got cooked, right?
Lost 4-0.
And then, like, I don't know. Was that the reason I was pushing up for? I don't know. Like, just that decision didn't make any sense. Like, I think he really had the team performing in a way that, I think was good enough to escape this season. Because they looked to me like a mid-table team when he was under their helm. And I just didn't see, like, the value in firing him.
Neither did I. It was a really puzzling decision to gain in the season.
And like, it didn't pay off.
Why don't you just wait till the end?
Yeah, and they looked miserable in the first half an hour against Arsenal. So that might have been helpful to have a good coach then, so
yeah,
that's just me though. But this year, I
think Bournemouth stands the best chance. Actually, I don't know because they're a small team, they will probably suffer, given the reduction, the fall in revenues.
I just think they have worse players.
They made a lot of really terrible,
like, Joe Ive.
Yeah, there's that.
Solanke.
Jefferson Lerma.
Yeah.
Who's been okay, but
that was
he paid a lot of money.
40 mil for that.
Yeah,
dude.
30, 40 mil for Jefferson Lerma. Yeah.
Eddie Howe should not be in charge of transfers anymore.
Yeah, Nathan Ake, they will sell.
Yeah, I heard he's going to go to Man City, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't play John Stones anymore, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, they might sell John Stones.
Who was going to buy him?
Arsenal. Oof. It's possible.
Oof. You guys.
Arteta knows him.
Oh.
Arteta knows him. I don't think they should buy him.
Y'all need midfielders and...
They need to beef up the midfield, yeah.
Yeah. You also need to sell Lacazette. Or figure out what's going on with Aubameyang, like if he's going to sign another contract or if he's going to leave.
Keep him. If he stays, sell Lacazette and buy... Yeah.
They need to figure that out before really anything else, and then
buy
you can drop your team.
Probably on the left.
Because that's a huge, huge issue, because those guys take up a ton of wages.
Yeah. And Ozil, too.
Yeah. I forgot he was even on the team.
Yeah. There's been talk about him going to Brenner.
I'm surprised he has not decided to move to Italy.
Or Turkey?
I think he's going to go to Turkey eventually, but he's, I suppose, still think too good for that league right now.
Yeah, he's definitely...
Because to me, I just look at Eriksen with Inter now, and I was like, Ozil can do that.
Yeah, very easily. It's a slower paced league. Yeah. He has a lot more time to pick out passes. Yeah, the team will carry him.
Yeah.
No one would shout at him for not running enough.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I don't really know what other team he could do that with in Italy, because Napoli aren't going that direction. Milan also aren't.
Juve, maybe, but
they
he could
have
fit
too
in.
Many old guys there, man.
Why not add one more?
Just be Milan from 2005.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, I mean, sure, they got a ton of money for no apparent reason that looks kind of suspect, but yeah.
Yeah, they could just buy Ozil, take him on loan for a season, and pay all his wages.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd watch that team.
Anyway, going back to the relegation discussion, I'm excited to see that Leeds is coming back.
Oh, for sure. I don't know how much money they have, though.
I don't think they have a lot.
Yeah, because their budget wasn't really high for the championship. They just had Bielsa perform some magic. So.
Yeah, and their squad, to be honest, isn't that great.
No.
If you look at it, if you look at the names... their striker is Patrick Bamford.
Yo, shout out to the Chelsea legend, man. The the legendary WhatsApp loan army group.
Yeah, he's an ex-member of the Chelsea loan army. And he's done a decent job for them this season, but...
Premier League is a step up.
Yeah, they tried to replace him. They got Eddie Nketiah early in the season on loan. He didn't really play that much. They got Jean-Kevin Augustin from Leipzig. I think I don't know if they got him from Leipzig or PSG, because Augustin was at PSG at some point in the past. But they got him on loan with an option to buy. He didn't play that much, and now they might have to buy him anyway. I don't really think they'll have much money to spend. I think they might keep much of the same team, and there's a chance that Bielsa might leave.
Yeah,
too. He's been linked to Barcelona already.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I saw rumors about Messi wanting Bielsa.
But to me, the problem with Barca isn't even the coach; it's the players aren't as good as they used to be.
No, it's not the coach at all. You can put in whoever you want to put in there. I don't think the end product will change unless the personnel changes.
They need to revamp their midfield. They need to figure out if Dembele wants to be a professional footballer. They need to figure out if Griezmann can still play.
Griezmann.
Dude, that hit is so bad. It's shocking. I don't know what happened with him, but he is
he got to Barcelona, probably felt that he made it.
Yeah, and just, I guess, coasted. But, like, I mean, he's getting benched, man. So, and yeah, rightfully so, he's not good. Like, Suarez is old, but at least he's still, like, good when he plays.
Yeah, he scores. He has a great understanding with Messi.
Yeah, like, to me, Suarez, I mean, you can tell, like, physically he's just not where he used to be, but, like, his shot is still really powerful, his movement's still good, and he's pretty good at passing. And Griezmann just looks off at everything.
Yeah. So. In Barcelona, they have a presidential election next year. Jean Laporta is coming. He might come back. He said he wants to seek the presidency. He was president during the Ronaldinho era, the early Pep era. So I'm sure that, like, if he comes back, they might, like, he might initiate a full-scale rebuild of the team.
But I mean, they have so much money that, wow, it's so strange, because they still have Coutinho too, which is wild.
They still have Coutinho, who I think they might try to sell this summer if they can.
I think they're gonna have to, but I don't know who. It's so strange. Like, I think that for as good as they've been, to see them struggle so mightily with team building, I think has just been really shocking.
The La Masia conveyor belt has slowed down. Well, and over the last, like, 15 years, the team has been built around, like, the same core of La Masia graduates. And now those guys are, like, retiring. Oh, they're going to retire.
They've been retired.
No, I mean, Messi is still there. Piqué is still there. Busquets is still there. Yeah,
but that's the spine of the team. The spine of the team, but it's 3 players out of 11. Like, most of those guys are not from there. Iniesta's gone. Xavi's gone. Like, a lot of those players have been gone for a while, too. Like, I think they have been able to boost their success off of La Masia, but I think, I mean, when they had Suarez, Neymar, and Messi, like, that team wasn't La Masia. That was, like, we have a ton of money and able to buy elite players.
Yeah, they bought Rakitic, who's a great fit.
Yeah, at that time.
At the time. No, he's just old.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, it would help to have the youth team, but, like, at their level, I think they just have an understanding that, like, the players who are going to be starting for your team, you're going to have to buy, and you're lucky if you get a player from your academy who can start. Because at the level they're playing at right now, like, it's just super hard to develop those quality of players, because they're few and far between, because you basically have to be a top 5 player in your world to really be, like, a top 10 at your position to play for Barca, like, realistically.
Yeah.
So,
and they have too many players that are not in the top 10 in their positions.
I just don't know what they're doing. They just, like, ugh. I don't know. They're like the one team, well, not one team, but them and Man U, where I'm like, it should not be this hard when you have this much money to, like, build a really, really competitive team. Like, if you spend as much money as they do, specifically Barca, because Man U also don't spend as much money as them, like, your team should be a lot better than this.
Yeah, absolutely. But then again, if they spent £100 million 3 times in the last 4 years, we said this before, and all those guys were expected to be good fits. Coutinho,
I did not expect Coutinho to be a good fit.
Yeah, like, I thought that playing him out wide wouldn't make. Yeah, and he could have done a job in midfield if they had the right, like, defensive, if they had the right setup in midfield.
If they didn't have Busquets, it would look a lot different.
Yeah.
But given Busquets' physical limitations, like, it's just hard.
If he was more mobile, then
it would help a lot.
Would have worked,
Griezmann, I also thought was suspect, because I was like, this dude is 29.
and he doesn't score that much.
Yeah, I was like, that's like, I know he's good because like I watched my Atletico like save their asses so many times, but I just was kind of curious to see like if he could scale that up.
And the more attacking team.
Yeah, like it says attacking is Barcelona, and he hasn't been able to do that. And the Dembele one, I thought that was going to be good. I don't know what happened. He seems to not like practicing as much.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they need to figure that out sooner rather than later. I just think he needs to be in an environment where he feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Going to PSG might help.
For sure.
But I don't know if PSG even wants it.
I don't think so.
They have Di Maria. They have to replace Di Maria.
Di Maria's contract up, though?
He's old. He's getting old. He's still very effective. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but like he's getting old. He's gonna turn 33 next February.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty good attacking line if you have like Dembele, Mbappe, Neymar, and Icardi.
Should they be playing Mbappe and Icardi in the same team? I mean, they'll probably have to.
They don't have to.
And it's not like Icardi takes away shots from Mbappe anyway. Like, Mbappe's scored at a decent clip this season.
He has a weird kind of skill set.
Icardi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a smaller version of a classic nine.
He like reminds me of Lewandowski, but in a different way. Like I think he scores a lot lower quality chances than Lewandowski does.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't get like a ton of shots. I'll look at his numbers real quick. But yeah.
Yeah, he's a complete striker.
Yeah.
Pretty good in the air, especially for his height. He's pretty good finisher. And he can lead the line if you want. If you need him to, you can play in the front two. And given that, like, and he's like pretty much like kept Cavani out of the team. Like, when they signed him, I was a bit shocked. I didn't think it would work, but it's worked remarkably well.
You want to know what his shots per 90 are?
2.5. Yeah.
That's pretty low.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's kind of in line with Aubameyang. Aubameyang doesn't get off that many shots, partly because Arsenal's build up play is shit.
And they play him out wide.
Yeah, but he does come inside.
Icardi's a 9.
Playing for the best team in France by far.
Who gets passes from like Neymar and Mbappe, like?
And Verratti, the like.
Yeah, it's weird. But even in Italy, he didn't have that many shots.
Yeah, I guess it's because Inter at the time wasn't that great.
Yeah. But it's. Yeah, he scored 29 goals in 2017-18 off of basically like three shots per 90, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It's like Benzema, but like
yeah, but like if the quality of each individual trance is a lot is significantly higher than.
But it's not though.
That's quality of average, yeah, of an average chance then.
His total XG is higher. I don't know. I have to like look at some of his numbers a little bit more, but he's still able to outperform XG consistently, except for his last season in Italy, but that was for different reasons.
Yeah, they just didn't play him.
Yeah. And he had like a falling out with the entire team, so that might affect your numbers a little bit.
Yeah, it could.
Why are we talking about Icardi? What? How do we get here?
I have no idea. We just started talking about Di Maria and how he's old.
Yeah.
And somehow
we
have.
And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dembele. Yeah.
Yeah. This is gone completely off the rails.
Yeah. So where were we? When we started?
We were talking about relegation.
It'd be interesting, like if like we could build a like a process flow diagram for our conversations.
What just happened? I do want to say about Villa is that they proved the theory that, like, if you spend a bunch of money on transfers, you're probably going to stay up.
Yeah, but that doesn't always happen.
No. And it just barely happened this time.
Yeah, like, yeah. If they could have easily lost that game.
Yeah.
Because Bournemouth were, like, going to stay up, given that they were beating the shit out of Everton.
Yo, they had the worst XG in the entire league, though.
Bournemouth?
No, Villa.
Yeah, they're not that good.
Newcastle, yeah, were second. That's also the thing that freaks me out.
Like, second worst XG?
Yeah.
They can't score for shit. Like,
they looked better once they put, like, Dwight Gale in there, but...
Yeah, but they're pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
If they can figure it out. The Braavos kept, the second most clean sheets in the league?
Yeah, I think they kind of got lucky.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Their XG against is not great. It's
Is it mid-table?
No, it's, fourth worst in the league.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but they're kind of all bunched together a little bit. Like, they're together with, like, Watford and Bournemouth and Arsenal, so...
Wow.
Yeah, that's why I was saying they just got kind of lucky. Because they have 11 wins, which is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they've been able to grind out a lot of wins.
Yeah, I think they're a real strong candidate for, like, dropping next season. But
yeah, they've always been.
If they get bought by some Saudi Arabia corporation or whatever. I don't even know. It's just someone from Saudi Arabia. It's like the whatever, like
the organization. The PIF.
Yeah. Then they'll probably stay up because you can just buy really good players.
Yeah, if that happens, it'd be pretty interesting.
I'm surprised it has not happened already because we heard about that move like 2 months ago.
Yeah, but like there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I don't think they've gotten the go ahead. I mean, I saw news a few days ago that the takeover is imminent.
Yeah. Which would make sense because to me it doesn't take you 2 months, or it might take you 2 months, but by the time we heard about the deal happening, they should have been able to prove that whatever group was going to purchase Newcastle had as much money as they had.
I think the Premier League is just
dragging their feet.
They're getting cold feet because of the PR, the optics of the move.
Yeah, no, it looks really bad. But
yeah, it looks bad. And there's also the TV rights thing.
Yeah, the beIN Sports thing.
Yeah,
Which, but to me, that's like, I thought that was a play by the Saudi Arabian government to force this move through. That if they're going to lose out on all this revenue because they can't show games there, then you want to facilitate that by giving them the team that they want to buy. Right?
I don't know if that's going to be enough to force the Premier League's hand.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. Didn't seem like a great strategy on their part. I don't know if that's the reason for their move, but that's just what I thought. Unless, I don't know. Wasn't there something about, like, Qatar being responsible for, like, illegal streaming of Premier League games?
No, I mean, beIN Sports is owned by Qatar.
Yeah.
But, like, in the rest, in other parts, in Saudi Arabia, I think they own beIN Sports owns the rights to the Premier League in Saudi Arabia as well.
Yeah.
But because of the falling out between Qatar and the rest of the GCC a few years ago, they've cut off most economic ties to Qatar, if not all, and now they illegally stream matches broadcast by beIN Sports. On Saudi Arabian television via this knockoff channel.
I know they're doing it on television. I thought they were just doing it like.
Yeah, I mean, I vaguely remember something about them setting up a channel that had a name pretty similar to beIN Sports.
Gotcha.
and they'll stream the games from there. I don't know, like, my memory might be failing me, but I remember seeing something like that.
This whole deal seems very strange.
Yeah.
But glass not my club. Yeah. But I was so surprised that, like, some other, like, American owner or, like,
some other rich consortium
group just, yeah, hasn't bought in this. Yeah. Because, like, Newcastle has a huge fan base. They're pretty well known. And just a little bit, I think, of cash injection, and they'll be right there, like, where Leicester and Everton are.
So. Yeah, they're one of the biggest teams in England.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's a weird situation. So yeah, that's the relegation talk. Do you have anything else? We're almost at like an hour, by the way.
Yeah, we just said a lot about nothing at all.
Yeah, literally. We just started talking about rumors. Yeah. Do you do transfers?
I mean, like, there's Kai Havertz to Chelsea. That's what it's talking about.
I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, Leo Sané said, when he was being introduced to Bayern, that, like, said something along the lines of Havertz is joining Chelsea, but Fabrizio Romano didn't say that. I think he said, I can't remember, but I think he said that that's not necessarily a side that he's going to join.
Yeah,
it looks like Chelsea are trying to reach Dilt Leverkusen, but I don't think that's going to be too difficult.
No.
If they've already agreed personal terms. Yeah, but like you said, I don't know how he's going to fit into the team.
The only way that makes sense to me is if you play him as like an 8.
Or a 10.
But I just, to me, if they play him as a 10,
they don't play Ziyech out wide.
Yeah, but you just, the other midfield partner went next to Conte, it can't be, well, it can be Kovacic, but just not for 90 minutes. Every match, you're going to have somebody else there. And their second option for that role is just not really very good.
Russ Park.
God.
And there's also Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
But he's always injured.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And to me, you'd want to play him in a midfield 3. Because he can do, like, the stuff in the box that, like, Kai Havertz can do.
Yeah.
And so playing them together would just kind of, I don't know, not defeat the purpose of each other, but I think limit some of their just good qualities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They really need, like, another midfielder they can play in a pivot, because Jorginho is not that dude.
Yeah, they could also play Havertz out wide.
You retain him. He's not fast, though.
He's not, but, I mean, he's not fast, but he has a decent turn. He's, like, quick off the block.
I guess. I don't know. To me, like,
his acceleration is pretty good for a guy that tall. He's deceptively quick.
Oh, God. That deceptively quick. Coach on the field.
Like, how
first one in, last one out. Yeah. Yo, no, I'm not saying he's like, I think his first touch is pretty, he's not like super lethargic in the way that he moves, but yeah, he's not known for his like super fast dribbling ability. Like, to me, it's his shot creation and his shots inside the box that kind of make him unique. It's not his dribbling.
Yeah.
So, just to me, like, if you're going to buy that dude, play him somewhere in the center of the pitch, because that's where he's good.
Yeah, they should play him somewhere in the center of the pitch. Yeah. And I think they will play there. That's what I meant to say.
To me, that move just, it could make sense, but there just has to be some other signings that comes with it. And honestly, they need a new keeper. So if Havertz is a luxury, the keeper is for sure a priority, and they should be doing more with that.
Yeah. It'll be funny if they go to Bilbao again and try to sign Unai Simone.
Oh my gosh. Why?
Unai Simone's a pretty good keeper. Looks like a pretty good keeper right now.
Yeah, but I just feel I couldn't go back to that team after, like, they signed Kemba for that fee, I'd just be like, nah, we're not doing this again. Like, because they kind of got, not like swindled, because like Chelsea agreed to the price or whatever, but like, nah, I try another team. Like that, that's, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know who's going to take Kepa.
There'll be interest somewhere. They'll probably have to sell him for that price.
But and cover a bunch of his wages.
Yeah.
But yeah. Any other news you want to talk about for transfers?
I mean, there's Jude Bellingham to Dortmund. The most interesting thing about that is the fact that Birmingham retired his number.
Which was ridiculous.
He's 17 years old, and he played 44 games with them.
Like,
they're like, yeah, I'm going to retire your number.
Honestly, this is, I talk about this a lot too, but like, this is why I kind of get frustrated with like the American system of like college. Because like, if you have a 17-year-old with like, what, 44 professional games? Like,
yeah.
In America, yeah, that'd be like a 23-year-old.
Yeah, really.
So, yeah, it's shout out to Jordan Morris.
I mean, I'm sure he was doing what was best for him at the time.
No, I mean, he went to Stanford, right?
Yeah,
he does. So that has his own benefits
mm-hmm.
to stay there as well. But yeah, it's honestly probably not a bad decision. And I don't know what like type of contracts he was being offered at the time either. So, I mean, I can't really hate on the dude for the move, but I think just for developing soccer players, like, it definitely helps to be professional earlier than being in an amateur sport league.
Absolutely. It's the same across all sports. Like, I mean, if you're definitely on track to be a professional, then you're losing out by staying amateur.
Except so it's best for if Olympic sports, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, where you're not going to earn much.
But they can also earn money with their if they're competing in one of those Olympic sports as well in ways that you can't do for like soccer. So like the revenue is different. But
yeah,
America's so weird, man. This country's strange.
Really is.
Anything else?
There hasn't really been that much transfer chatter, at least definitive transfer chatter, yet. There have been rumors.
It's going to escalate really quickly because the Premier League starts up in September. So
yeah, and the window opens, what, this week?
Yeah, so I think it's like 50-some days to do all these moves.
Yeah, it closes in October, and then they're going to have a few more weeks or a week or two for domestic transfers before the league begins.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of good for us because it gives something to talk about over this break plus Champions League. So,
yeah.
Which we didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah, Champions League.
No,
but we'll get to that.
We're already an hour into it. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. Do you want to do shout-outs?
Let me see. Shout out to Jules.
What?
The producer, Jules.
I don't know who this is.
Really? The Ghanaian, British Ghanaian producer?
Yeah, I don't know who that is, man.
That's a shame. Yeah, anyway, he dropped this beat tape a few months ago called Fufu and Grits. And I've been listening to it like pretty consistently, and like it's still fire. So, shout out to him. Did a great job in that one.
Ghanaian producer Jules.
Yeah, he's pretty big on the scene. Surprised you haven't heard of him.
Yeah, I've not heard of this dude before.
Got any?
I'll probably listen to his songs. Oh, shout out to WNBA. I've been watching a bunch of basketball this week, and I don't know. I think it's been enjoyable to see basketball back after such a long break. and these ladies can hoop. They're
Yeah,
double
they can.
basketball. And it is still kind of weird to watch basketball inside of an arena like this with no fans. But
Yeah, and those screens. Do they? Does the WNBA have the screens that the NBA has for the scrimmages?
screens.
Yeah, like the NBA like puts up in the scrimmages. They put up. I think the Heat did this. They put up this screen around the court, and they like showed images of fans cheering.
No, they don't do that, I don't think. Because I haven't
Okay,
watched any of the
thank
NBA
God.
scrimmages, because it's.
Why would you want to watch a scrimmage?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube videos, YouTube clips.
Yeah. But no, I think it's just good to see basketball back. Good to see. Yeah, professional sports back in this country. Because I don't really watch baseball, so I'm not really counting that. So.
Yeah. I do have to say about the WNBA, I don't like the way they handled the Deladon situation.
Yeah, that was bad.
They
Because I
with
know they
that.
went off the CDC's like listing of I guess I don't know if it was comorbidities, but they had like certain either like ailments that would qualify you to like some type of work exemption, and that was like their basis for not granting her her normal salary for sitting out the season. But it's just a bad look. Like, that's your MVP. Like, to do that to her is just not good. And the thing about the WNBA is, like, these salaries just aren't that high compared to, like, the NBA, and to especially how much these owners actually make. And so it just looks kind of like. And I know people are hurting because the pandemic, but it's just a bad look for your league. But, yeah. Let's go New York Liberty, man. Even they got smoked yesterday. They're not very good.
Yeah, they're not. If I have the chance to, I'll probably go off and try to watch a WNBA game like sometime in the near future whenever the arenas open up.
Yeah, now I haven't been to the new Mystics.
Yeah, it's out in
Should be.
Westchester, right?
Oh no, the Mystics one, and it's
I
like
mean,
in.
yeah, you meant the Mystics, the Washington
Yeah.
Mystics. I thought you were talking about New York Liberty.
Then Liberty, they play in Brooklyn. They play at the Barclays Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used to play in Westchester, which was a terrible place for them because the stadium is like really small and just out of the way. And I looked at it, took like an hour and a half one way to get there. I was like, I like basketball, not this much. That's no. And they played like at the Garden sometimes, but the tickets were super expensive. I was like, this is crazy. So now they play at the Nets because Joseph Tsai also owns the Liberty. So,
Oh, really?
yeah.
Didn't know that.
But the Mystics, their new stand that they built in like Berry Farms-ish area, right? But I haven't been that to that one.
It's in Southeast.
Somewhere over there. Because I know, well, for like my memory, the team they always played at the what is it called now? The Capital One Arena.
Yeah, the Capital One Arena.
Yeah, they always played there, like when I was a kid. But I've not been to their new stadium.
Yeah, it opened up, I think, late last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Hoops, man.
Yeah, shout out to Hoops.
I
Happy to have him back.
gotta produce this podcast, man. I'm trying to get it out today. So, all right, this has been playing FIFA in Suits. Peace.